You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The Sweet 16 wrapped up in Indianapolis with Mick Cronin's UCLA hanging on for an 88-78 win against Alabama after Alex Reiss hit a buzzer-beating shot to send the game to overtime. USC, Michigan, and Gonzaga also advanced to the Elite Eight. Also in college basketball, Indiana hired Mike Woodson to be their head coach, plucking him from the New York Knicks bench. It's a six-year deal for Woodson to be the coach of the Hoosiers. The U.S. under-23 squad lost to Honduras by 2-1, failing to qualify for the Olympics for a third straight cycle in men's soccer. David Ochoa with an absolute howler to give away the decisive goal to Luis Palma for Los Catrachos. And finally, the sloth is the only mammal that doesn't fart.
The great Chris Whittingham, polished as always. The sloth does not fart.
Huh. How about that?
That's very shocking.
Neither does my
howler.
Wife. Yeah, my wife doesn't fart either.
Your wife's never farted?
I mean, it's a thing.
What do you mean it's a thing?
Yeah, women are... Now I may be in trouble by lumping in a group
my
of
wife
people
farts.
Together. But, you know...
Attaboy, Chris.
I like to be very private about it.
Okay, I mean... My wife rips farts all the time.
Really?
Yes.
You're that comfortable.
We are that comfortable, yeah. 20 years in, you get that comfortable. It's It's odd. Yeah.
I let them rip, but...
Sometimes she does it under the covers and lets me just, you know, marinate them. Yeah.
Dutch oven.
All right, let's update our NCAA tournament. Billy, are we updating the NIT or... The NCAA tournament. I think we're waiting till the NCAA tournament. Mike told me that before we started because Dan will be back tomorrow to do that. So the NIT, Bill?
Yeah, we just had this conversation.
Yeah, we did.
Do you want to go all the way back to Thursday and do NIT quarterfinal, or you just want to do semis and final?
I want to do whatever Billy Gill wants to do.
You know what? I'm not a good decision maker. Are you guys good decision makers?
All right, I'll make the decision for you. Let's do the semifinals and the finals, okay?
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. Then we're going to miss out on Richmond, who was eliminated.
I take it back. Let's do the quarterfinals. Start with the quarterfinals of the NIT, okay?
All right. But the thing, though, is that if we do the quarterfinals and the semifinals become redundant, as does the final, you know what I mean? Because it's just the same ones over and over again. This is the dilemma.
How about we just play Richmond and move on? How about that?
Richmond wasn't that good. It was just an example. Why don't we do the semifinals?
Okay. All right. You want to do semifinals?
You know what we could do? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this, Stugatz? Why don't we do the teams that were eliminated from the quarterfinal?
Right.
And then we could do the semifinal and then the final.
I like that idea. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that one. That's a good idea.
All right, guys. Well, important updates here to the NIT. The quarterfinals happened last Thursday, and we had four teams eliminated from the quarterfinals. Richmond lost to Mississippi State. Richmond was represented by who?
Kyle Shanahan looks like the fourth member of the Beastie Boys.
Mississippi State moved on, but we're not going to do them now. We'll catch up with them in the semifinals. Boise State also eliminated, number two seed in the NIT. They lost to Memphis. Boise State is no longer part of the tournament. Who represented them?
Kelly Olynyk looks like the guy you meet on the third day of the music festival.
I'm going to miss Kelly Olynyk. I am.
Gonna Are miss you? Him.
Yeah. Not really.
All right. Also eliminated, NC State lost to Colorado State. NC State no longer part of the NIT. They were represented by...
Ed Orgeron looks like the guy who will make a copy of your keys at Home Depot.
Moving on, Bill.
I miss when that was like a thing, the guy that made the keys at Home Depot. Yeah. I went there not too long ago. I had to make a copy, and now it's just like a machine. You put your own key in, you push the button, you choose the type of key that you like. Yeah.
You do it yourself?
There was a tech that was handling it. I made a bunch of copies for the keys here in the studio over the weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
There are, but sometimes they'll be like, you know what? There's machines over there, like dog tags. If you get a dog tag, now it's just like all computerized.
I always worry that guy who's making my key, who's copying my key, is making an extra key for himself. I just, it's a worry I've had over the years.
It popped into my mind because I was just leaving him to his job. And I was like, wow, this guy could have made a bunch of copies to keys for himself.
You got
to
keep an eye. You stay right there. I mean, maybe you were ever, doing a bunch, so you had to walk around, but yeah, you can't leave that guy.
You ever get them to duplicate a key that says do not duplicate on it?
Yeah.
No.
I feel like that's the dilemma for the locksmith. Are they locksmiths? They're just key makers. I feel like it's a dilemma for them, right? Do I make a copy because it says do not copy, but I can copy this?
Is like the same level of misdemeanor as ripping the tag off a mattress.
That's serious. Don't do that, guys.
It is. Yeah.
You don't want to do that. You guys remember back in the day when you'd walk into like a drugstore or like a Walgreens or like a Hallmark, and they had the like customized cards that you'd make at the machine that you'd type in like the greeting or whatever, and it'd print it out in front of you, and it was like a whole thing, and it'd write everything, and then it was pictures, it'd draw the pictures. You guys remember that? No one remembers that. Okay, moving on. Number four, Western Kentucky was eliminated from the NIT. They lost to Louisiana Tech. We'll get to them in a minute. But Western Kentucky was represented by...
Dick Vitale looks like a balloon salesman on Coney Island.
The Hilltoppers, yeah.
So that sets up the NIT semifinals that took place over the weekend, Stugatz. It's very exciting. Number four, Mississippi State took on number four, Louisiana Tech. Number one, Memphis took on number one, Colorado State. A battle of fours versus a battle of ones, just the way the brackets fell this year. So number four, Mississippi State beat number four, Louisiana Tech. The team moving on, Mississippi State, is represented by...
Dan Orlovsky looks like he kisses his dog on the mouth.
I'd like to do a bit of reporting on this. I reached out to someone who might be familiar with the situation, and I said, is this something that actually happens? And the person said, I don't know if it does happen, but if it does happen, he definitely would then go wash his face and brush his teeth a lot. So take that for what it's worth, which is nothing. All right, that eliminated number four, Louisiana Tech, who was represented by...
Mike Tomlin looks like your new trainer who, when you meet him at the gym for the first time, eyes you up and down and says, that's above my pay grade, and leaves.
I mean, it's the first time I've seen you laugh at any of these.
I've heard a lot of them, but that was one of my favorites.
So that was a battle of fours. Now Mississippi State's going to play for the NIT final and be the 69th best team in the country. So number one, Memphis, beat number one, Colorado State. Number one, Memphis, is represented by...
Dave Gettleman looks like he invites you over to check out the new deck.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to win it.
Eliminating number one, Colorado State, is represented by...
Tony Kornheiser looks like a grouchy pilgrim from the first Thanksgiving who complained about the turkey being too dry.
There we are. Number four versus number one. You guys want to know the loser? You want to know the winner?
I would like to know the winner, Billy.
All right. The winner of the NIT.
Yes.
Number one, Memphis.
Dave Gettleman looks like he invites you over to check out the new deck.
A worthy NIT champion.
Yes, deserving.
That 69th very deserving. Best looks like we've had.
Very, very deserving. Excellent
job. You
guys
don't remember that card machine for real?
No, I don't remember that card machine. Can you explain it?
It was a thrill.
I'm intrigued by it, though. Can you explain it to us again? Because I didn't understand it the first time. Are you saying it's a Hallmark card? There's a machine. You walk in, you create your own message, your own card, and it spits it out?
It may have been an American Signature machine. I don't know exactly. Basically, you'd go in, you'd choose what you wanted the front to look like. You'd type up the message that you wanted it to say, maybe a little picture on the inside, and then you'd put print, and then the card would come out, and then you'd watch it draw all over the card in front of you, and then it'd open it up and flip it around and write your message. It was a whole thing. I'm going to find it. You know what? I'm going to send this to you guys.
All right.
I'm not doing it justice.
Yeah, because we're all confused. No one has ever, no one's ever seen one. Heard of
people
it?
Have
nothing.
Seen these.
No.
Yeah.
Have seen cards overpriced. We can all agree, right?
Very overpriced.
100% Cards are way overpriced.
You want to know what they do? And here's the key: if you buy a card that's in some sort of lamination, laminated plastic, right? They're making it look more important than it actually is. You're a sucker. I am telling you that right now. Those cards are $7.95 at my Walgreens.
Yeah.
Every single outlet that sells these cards has a section. You just have to find it. 99-cent cards.
Mm.
And people can't, they don't care.
They're
you just
not as witty, though. They're not.
No, I was going to say, you can go to the dollar store and get dollar cards and no one would know the difference. I am a big fan, though, and I know this is corny and I'll probably get criticized for this. I like a good card that starts playing music.
Oh,
when
I love
I open
it.
Yeah,
but that's
I was disagreeing with Stugatz. I like the ones with the little plastic sleeve on it. Like, this is a fragile card. This
really?
No, I don't like those. I don't like those.
Why? Wait. Why do you like those? Because it makes your wife feel like you've gone out of your way. You've done a little something extra than just picking out any old card.
But that she doesn't even see that because you take that off when you put it in the card. That was just to keep it protected in the buying process, right? Like you take that little plastic sleeve off when you actually.
No, I keep the sleeve on because I wanted to know I bought one with a sleeve. Are you out of your mind? I mean,
if you flip the card over on the back right above the barcode, it always tells you how much it costs.
Right.
So savvy card receivers will look at it and say, how much does this person really care about me? You see that 99,
right.
They see that 7.95, like, ooh.
I was just going to say, like, do you think there are people who are analyzing the back of the card and judging you based off whether or not you spend an adequate amount in their card?
It seems like Amin does this.
Yes, I mean, and wives, yes. Like, I'm not going to check. Amin does check. Billy's not going to check. Chris is not going to check. Your wife is checking. I believe your wife is always checking, you know? So
what's your guys' strategy with, are we letting the card do the talking? Are we writing a paragraph ourselves? I tend to get a shorter message and then I do a little bit of the writing.
I hate when my wife does this. She'll get me a card and the card says very nice things. And then she'll write at the end, the card says it all. Love Abby.
I thought she was just going to say love Abby.
The card says, how about you say it? Okay.
So lazy.
Thank you. Right.
Stugatz is strong in her.
Yeah, but there's nothing worse than, all right, you know what? I'm going to write this nice message and you do it in pen and then you make like a mistake and you have to like cross something out. Like, that's the worst.
Yeah.
What kind of mistakes are you making where you got to cross it out just to say, I love you or whatever?
Yeah. Sorry that you, I mean, I'm writing like full paragraphs here. Like,
what do you write? Walk us through what a greeting.
No, but Chris is right though. Like, you might have like you make a little error, you know, like the O doesn't come out correctly in love and you want to like scratch it out and do it again.
No, you never scratch it out. What you do is you just distort the other letters around it. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you miss an A, you miss an E, whatever. You just turn that letter into the other letter.
Yeah. Okay. And when it's a long paragraph, the handwriting just deteriorates as you get further into it. It starts out so well. And then you're realizing that I have little space left. So I got to start writing. I went too big in the first few sentences and I don't have enough room. So I have to go smaller with the letters now.
I also think our ability to write has atrophied based off the amount that we are using our phones and typing now. The
it
only
has atrophied
time,
so much.
The only time that I handwrite anything is for cards to give to people for their birthdays. That's the only time I write anything.
Trying to think if I've written anything else other than a card. I mean, I still write checks occasionally, but that's about it.
You also like handwrite your note, like your scratch notes during the show.
I do. I handwrite those. Yes.
I'm always tight. Like I text ideas to myself rather than writing them down.
I remember them better when I write them down. That's why I do it that way, as opposed to texting them to myself.
Yeah, but then you need to find where you wrote it down, which I'm sure you lose all the time.
Then I take a picture of it on my cell phone, Bill. So I write it down on an index card. I take a picture of it on my cell phone.
And then text it to yourself just in case.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Didn't you write down like my predictions for like the Dolphins season, like win by win? You were like just writing down.
Well, yeah, no, but I had them in a Word doc.
But Bill, you do have a notebook back here where you wrote everything down, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, time to pick out a random show and see what we wrote about it.
Yes, yes. Whittingham is looking for the notebook right now. Be careful.
To the composition. The composition notebooks are the best.
Be careful.
Those are the oldest.
Yeah, yeah. There are things that will bite you under there. All right, he has the.
All right, I've got a date. It's March the 5th of 2013.
Ooh.
So we began in the 3 o'clock hour. We began in the 3 o'clock hour. Show killer or show killer? I guess we were trying to workshop the idea around Greg Cody.
Uh-huh.
320, 328. Comments by Rodman on North Korea.
Oh, wow. This is a good show. I remember this.
Great show.
Only, yes. Only 5 minutes on that? 323 to 328?
Yeah, I guess we solved North Korea in 8 minutes.
Up maybe, against it.
Maybe we just went back to the well.
Up against it.
Up against it.
333. The rest of the half hour was dedicated to Maurice Clarett for some reason.
It's those tweets where he's up at 5:30 in the morning, like workout done, and you're just waking up, and it's like, shut the fuck up.
And it led to a subtopic, players that hurt city of Miami. So I guess it's Miami killers.
Cortez was doing segments back then too, huh?
Malik Monk is on the list now.
Yeah. 4 o'clock hour begins with Kobe v. Ibaka. I guess this is a debate in the 2013 NBA season.
Kobe v. Ibaka.
I think Ibaka.
They might got into it. I think they got into it at a game.
What year was this?
This is 2013.
Ibaka's still in Oklahoma City at that point.
He's also still in his 50s.
418 to 426, the upset bird. 430 to 439, Heat, best team in universe.
Oh, my God.
Cortez was on the show.
Cortez was definitely producing
this. We were
this.
All off that.
That has to be when he was interning still, right?
530 to 540, Searching for Sugar Man. That's a documentary, wasn't it? I think it's
a baseball documentary.
I still have that in my Netflix queue. I'm like, I'm getting to it. Like, one day I'm going to watch this documentary. 544 to 555, Mike Wilbon. Then 604, this is a classic Levitard show segment. 604 to 614, are coaches needed in NBA?
I think Dan said they're not, right?
Is that the Stugatz Mike Ryan show?
You could tell that this was LeBron's heat.
Yep. Variances in reported NBA player height.
We didn't do that.
Yeah, I wasn't interning that day. I didn't write that. I don't use the word variances.
This is probably Dan making the point that Kevin Durant doesn't want to be listed as a 7-footer again.
Mm. And then
that wasn't a Stevie day either. Stevie doesn't use the word variances.
No. Stevie. And players that bring shame and or pride. And that was the March the 5th show in 2013.
Yeah.
Wow. Hell of a show,
that was
man.
Good.
Udonis Haslam, Pride.
I just flipped to a random page. The first two segments on August the 5th, 2013 were Nathan Eovaldi's fastball and I Miss Jake Long quoted to Dan.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
All right, a lot of funny things happened in the world of sports over the weekend. I say that because Chris has a lot of options for us today. So let's start off with Amin Alhassan. Amin Alhassan, your funniest thing from the sports weekend is what?
U.S. men's national team not making the Olympics, as everyone knows on Twitter. I hate the U.S. men's national team in soccer. Every time they fail is my success.
Soccer is dead. How'd you feel about that, Mike? Chris, how'd you guys feel? Pulisic, I thought he was like the savior of American soccer.
You very clearly don't understand the Olympic qualification.
Yeah. Well, I understand is they never make it. That's
Pulisic is age eligible, but basically all the players who are playing in Europe are not allowed to play in this tournament, so it was like only the MLS-based players, and they stunk. They stunk throughout the tournament, and they lost to Honduras for a third straight time, and it's really bad.
Pulisic was age eligible, but there was no way he would even take, even if he were able to come back to the United States for it, there's no way he would be part of the qualification process.
No.
Part of what's wrong, too, is it's not our best players, and you know that other countries are going for it, but you should still beat Honduras. The fact that the U.S. has missed the Olympics.
Oh, we didn't have our best players, no, I swear, for three straight Olympics. You're right.
A million excuses, but none of them good.
Terrible goal they gave up.
For three straight decades, I mean.
Well, the Olympics don't happen every decade. That's every 4 years.
But yeah, okay. Just whatever. Soccer's dead. Chris Cody, what's your funniest thing for the sports weekend?
The Arizona Christian football team had a fat kicker kick a game-winning field goal in the SAC championship game, and a bunch of people were tweeting that it's congrats to Dan on his big kick. And then the official count from that Arizona Christian football team tweeted, Dan wishes he was GOAT status.
Nice little jab. I mean, what are you doing with jazz hands there?
Ooh! They told him and us, I guess.
Roy, funniest thing for the sports weekend?
A Rory McIlroy tee shot ended up in somebody's swimming pool.
I've been there. We've all been there. Billy, funniest thing for the sports weekend?
Every player with the first name of Gary in the NBA was traded at the deadline.
You stole mine.
See you, Gary.
Whittingham, what's your funniest thing for the sports weekend?
I'm going to go for Cristiano Ronaldo. He felt like he scored a goal in Portugal's game against Serbia. It was cleared off the line. It was very clearly over the line, but the assistant referee didn't give the goal. And so while the game was still going on, he threw his captain's armband to the ground and huffed off to the locker room while the game was still happening. Portugal down to 10 because Ronaldo was so mad.
Mike, your funniest thing? I have a thing that's funny. It also, I'm outraged by it, even though you guys told me about it an hour ago. But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Really good UFC card over the weekend. The heavyweight title fight was really just the announcement to the world that Francis Ngannou is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters out there. Wins a heavyweight championship from Stipe Miocic, who might go down as the greatest UFC heavyweight ever. We'll see what Francis Ngannou does with it. But Daniel Cormier was on commentary alongside Joe Rogan, and seeing how dominant Ngannou was, they were trying to bandy about who could possibly take on this monster, because he is a highly evolved fighter. And Cormier, ever so quickly, it should be John Bones Jones, because they have a sordid past and a history. It would have been funnier if anyone else knew about MMA.
You're right. Sorry, Mike.
Wait, can I go back
you
to
You wanted
Whitty's
my fake laughter there, didn't you, huh?
Yeah, I'm about to say. Exactly. I wish you had told Sagat to stop laughing.
Exactly.
Can I go back to Whitty's real fast? Did Ronaldo get ripped for this, or is he just allowed to do whatever he wants?
He's just like a diva, right? It's like if Mariah
That's
Carey
what I mean. He
did
should get
something.
Crushed for that. Is he like? But he can kind of do what he wants. So I'm wondering what the reaction was to it.
Yeah, more people were outraged that the goal wasn't given. Right? It was
See,
so. It was so clearly a goal. It went over the line, but he just walked off because he was so upset.
My funniest thing from the sports weekend, the weekend Zion Williamson had statistically, I can't say that word, after I called him a bust, 2 games, 39 and 38 points while shooting a combined 29 of 39 from the field. That's the weekend he had right after I called him a bust. The one that outrages me is Steak Sauce asking Sister Jean to do a cameo for me, and Sister Jean said no. She declined his request. Who the hell is she? I mean, seriously, I thought she's doing it for charity. So why would you decline someone's request if all this money's going to a good cause? Because I ripped you? Because I said you're starting to look your age? You're 102 years old. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, okay? Because Sister Jean, after they won the first 2 games, I'm putting you in a horrible spot, I'm sorry. But the headlines were, Sister Jean prays Loyola Chicago goes on to win. When they lose, the kids got criticized. It wasn't Sister Jean. So when you win, she gets the credit. When you lose, the kids get criticized. That is not fair. That is not what being a sister of the cloth is all about. How about that? What?
She's a fraud.
Not to criticize her, but she really shouldn't be pitting God against people.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It could be just because your name is Stu Gatz, and it's probably a bad look for a nun to say an Italian curse word.
But it's all for charity. It's all for a good cause. It's all...
Okay, and well, she's also not going to promote Lil Nas X's new shoes if it's for a good cause. She has a right to say no to things.
But it was promoting stupidity, not Stu Gatz. Stupidity, a podcast.
I'm with you, Stu Gatz. She should have to go to the charity and explain to them why they're a few hundred dollars short because she didn't feel like doing stupidity promos.
Correct. Write a check. Like, if you're not going to take our money, then write a check yourself.
Well, I don't...
What do you mean?
How much money she has.
She's killing it. She has the number one selling bobblehead in America. What are you talking about?
I mean, she's keeping a piece of this, right? All right.
You're starting to come around. You guys are starting to go.
You got
to
wet your beak, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, Billy, it is rude not to take, you're not taking money for a charity because you don't like me.
Well, I don't think she knows who you are.
All the more reason.
I've gotten a couple cameo requests where somebody's asking me to promote something, and I'm not really sure what it is, so I kind of am just like, you know, I'm not going to promote that. Like, she probably just had no idea what stupidity was, so she's like, yeah, I'm going to pass.
Chris, you poor, sweet, innocent child. Whenever that happens, I do it, but then I put mad disclaimers all over it. Now, I don't know what this is about. If this is some weird Nazi thing, I don't support it. But if it's just a regular podcast, yeah, go ahead and check it out. But if it's something bad, I have nothing to do with it. I'm not saying no to the money, Chris. I'm just going to put disclaimers all the way through it.
You have, like, card disclaimers at the end of your cameos?
When they ask me to promote something? Hell yeah. I'm like, I don't know what it is. I'm going to make it infinitely clear. This ain't on me.
Chris, not a heady play. You got to just fake it and take that money and like me and just put a disclaimer at the end.
Over the weekend, Howard Schnellenberger, it was announced he passed away. Very famous on our show, not just because of our affinity for the U and Coach Howard himself, but we also had the fake Howard Schnellenberger.
Mike, I'm wondering, though, were you emotional? Were you made emotional by that? Because a lot of people over the weekend were very emotional. Howard Schnellenberger, for those who don't know, was really the guy who launched the University of Miami football program in the early 80s. I think they beat Nebraska in a national championship game, or tied Nebraska and went on to win the national championship against Tom Osborne. But he's the guy who really launched the University of Miami football program.
He really did. And he changed college football forever. I'd been bracing for it. Word had begun circulating that this might be around the corner. And Howard Schnellenberger passes away. And it was really cool to see the outpouring of people, not just from Miami, because you know that he's got the Tri-County area on lock in terms of his impact on college football. But he coached many places, and this guy has an incredible legacy. He was part of the 72 Dolphins staff. He recruited Joe Namath to Alabama, was head coach at Louisville for a while, once famously kicked Mick Jagger out of the weight room. Howard Schnellenberger was a character, and he came back down here to South Florida and started the FAU program, a program that is very respectable given how soon ago it actually started. He was a big part of that. It was successful. It was really cool to see him have that success at that level later in age. Coached with the pipe, very famous character, very famous voice, was really one of the lead head coaches in terms of integrating college football. Yes, there was integration, but not integration at major programs. And he invented the notion of the state of Miami. We're going to cast a net over the Tri-County area, and we're not going to let any of these elite high school athletes go to other schools. And it won Miami its first national title. Miami is simply not a thing without Coach Schnellenberger.
Where did he go? What was the job he took after he left the University of Miami?
USFL? Was it the USFL?
Because I always wondered, had Howard stayed, how many national championships he would have won as the University of Miami. I mean, Jimmy came in afterwards and won one, and I think Erickson came in afterwards and won two, and then they had that pause, and then they came back in the early 2000s of the Butch Davis and started winning again.
Yeah, Coker won,
right.
But it was all because of the foundation that Schnellenberger laid, and every single coach that's ever been successful here, and coaches that try to be successful outside of Al Golden, wasn't successful because he let these recruits get away. You want the state of Miami. You don't want any of those recruits leaving. It's what every head coach aspires to do when they get down here. It's harder to do it in this day and age. It was harder to do it back then
But Howard Schnellenberger gave those athletes a path to actually play big-time college football, contribute to a big program, and there simply is no the U without Howard.
Whittingham, did you get emotional over the weekend as someone who went to the University of Miami?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not just about building out the University of Miami. Even just that notion of South Florida as a breeding ground for top high school football players, Mike mentioned the difficulties in it. It's largely down to the fact that everyone now knows that you come here. Like, Cincinnati builds their programs around athletes from the South Florida area. Dozens and dozens of schools know you got to come here to get top players. And so, yeah, I mean, everything that is UM football, everything that is University of Miami, like, it's funny when you see, like, teams do well in March Madness and all of a sudden Loyola Chicago gets a rash of students that want to be interested in going there. I don't think the University of Miami arrives as a school without this massive amount of publicity that all starts with Howard Schnellenberger. It all starts this, you know, Miami being a college football and pro football city. And it's remarkable when you're at the school, just like the volume and passion of like UM's core supporters. I know they get a lot of credit or a lot of obviously criticism for, you know, having empty stadiums and it's not the best supported, but the people who are into UM sports are really into it. And you see that when you're on campus, and yeah, it all starts with him.
I think even if you're not into UM sports, there was something for me up in the Northeast. College football is not a big deal. We don't have a team to root for. People would say, okay, well, Syracuse. No, but Syracuse is 17 hours from my house. Seriously, it's a far drive. And so University of Miami became the team that a lot of people in the Northeast started rooting for, and Howard was the guy identified with those. I'll never forget that Nebraska game. A terrible mistake by Tom Osborne, by the way. I mean, seriously. He went for two. He should have been fired for it. It's ridiculous. And if he's still working somewhere, he should be fired for it still. He went for two at a time where he just needed to kick an extra point. And if he does that, Nebraska wins the national championship. But Osborne wanted the perfect season. And so he went for two, didn't get it. Turner Gill on a passing play. The guy never passed. Turner Gill decides to go a passing play. And Howard Schnellenberger wins his first national championship, UM's first national championship, and the rest is history. What a terrible job by Tom Osborne. Seriously.
Are you saying 38 years later that a tie would have been an impactful result?
Yes.
Because you spent all of the 2020 NFL season banging on about a tie.
That would have been a good tie. That's a tie that wins you a national championship. Osborne failed Nebraska. He failed Cornhusker Nation. They haven't been the same since. I think they've won four national championships since, but you get what I'm saying. Touchdown, Tommy Frazier. Yeah, yeah. Lawrence Phillips. Those were good teams. Wow. Tom Osborne. Legend. Probably shouldn't have been fired for that now that I'm really kind of. May he rest in peace. He's dead?
No, he's not.
Oh.
No.
Is that a fine?
$50.
Jesus Christ. I have no money.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.